Welcome to Your Expansive Self Podcast. I'm your host, Tasha Kretel. I'm a self-healing and leadership coach, breathwork and meditation teacher, truth finder, activator, and a passionate student of life. I fully believe that everything is interconnected in our world and that it's time that we talk about the deeper truths of it. My goal is to share with you all that I know within the energetics of self-healing, health and wealth, spirituality, sexual energy, conscious business and leadership, basically all the things that I'm obsessed with. I am fully committed to helping you remember that you can lead, embody, create, and live from a place of wholeness, love, empowered sovereignty, and personal freedom. We have conversation with heart leaders, solo episodes, no BS, no filters, sharing from my heart to yours with integrity, love, and wisdom. Thank you so much for pressing play today. I'm so honored and excited to have you here with me. So let's get started. Hello, my beautiful sunshines, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I have a dear, dear friend of mine who I love so, so much that I've connected with on multiple different levels in many different ways. But the thing that I love the most about this woman is the level of vulnerability and intimacy that she has for herself and the way that it shows up in different ways in her life. And granted, this is not something that, you know, she's had to work to be that, and she's had to unveil a lot of parts of herself to really be that all the time, or as much as, you know, she can be for herself and for the life that she wants, really. And so today we explore different parts of what it looks like, what it means to live intimately with ourselves and intimately with life, and what that even looks like, and what type of benefits we can get from it. And the conversation is so in depth. We covered through, you know, so many layers of her experiences, and I love how open she is to talk about her experiences, because I'm also the same, and it's really refreshing to have a full-blown conversation about her own experiences and how she teaches, and really just, yeah, it just feels very vulnerable. And I love that. And I think it takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable, and it takes a lot of courage to go through our own life experiences and then use that for the service of others, to support others, without making it an aspect of ourselves of like having to save, or to saving others, or whatever that looks like. It's just really like, wow, this is what I went through. Let me support you with this. And I think a huge part of this entire conversation that I love so deeply is, you know, she's a pure reflection of that. And so therefore it invited me in also to be more vulnerable and to be more intimate in this conversation. It's actually the first episode I think I am as emotional as I am, and I'm sharing a lot from my heart. And again, it takes two to really show up in that manner. And I'm experiencing that for myself in so many different ways on a personal level. And it's so liberating. It's so liberating to speak, to be, and to live through the heart and in our own vulnerability, and ultimately embody intimacy for ourselves, and therefore being deeply connected to everything around us and within us at all times. And just the radical honesty it brings, and the self-awareness it brings, and the healing it brings. It's freaking incredible. Before we dive into this conversation, I wanted to talk about Feel Free. And Feel Free is a tonic blend that I have been loving so much since I was in Austin. I've spoken about it many, many times. And so it's basically a blend of a bunch of different things, but mostly the main ingredient being kava. K-A-V-A. It is a huge heart opener. And there is another component to this blend that they go really, really well together. And sometimes I have noticed that if you take too much of kava, it can be too much like heart opening. It can be too much energy. But this specific blend in Feel Free is very grounded. So it's not overwhelming. If you are sensitive, I would like, you know, take your time with it for sure. Get to know the tonic and get to know the herb and get to know your body as you are feeling more of it. But basically why I love it so much is that it brings me a lot of clarity, a lot of heart energy. I'm grounded. I don't have like the jitters that I would have. I don't personally have jitters from coffee, but some people do. And on the days where I want to be like high energy, but also in my body, I take it feel free. Because I notice sometimes if I want energy and I take coffee, I'm a little bit more in my head, which is not bad per se. It's good for when I do work, but I have noticed a huge difference from using feel free instead and just, you know, taking my time with it. So if you want to get your hands on that, you can go in the show notes and get your package basically, and you can use the code TASH40 for 40% off. It is 1000% worth it. Like I said, if you find yourself sensitive to substances, tonics, herbs, whatever, I only take half a bottle at a time, and that lasts like all day long. If you're going to a party and you don't want to drink, that's also a good time to take it. I would not take it like too late at night because it will keep you up. Some people don't find it does that. For me, I do definitely find that it happens sometimes. So play around with it, be light with it, be just in your own resonance around it and speak to it. That's like the best way to really feel into new products. And again, this podcast episode being all about intimacy, it makes a lot of sense to even just talk about the intimacy that we have with products that we use and supplements that we use and how much more intentional they can be once we are choosing to be intimate with it. So again, if you want to get your hands on some, feel free. You can go to the link in my in the show notes, get your 40% off with the code TASH40. And yeah, you will not regret it because it is freaking epic. So today I present to you Bryn Daler. So happy to have her on. If there are any golden nuggets that you really enjoy, make sure you tag us. You post it on social media, you share with a friend. Let us know what your biggest golden nuggets are. Connect with us, both of us, on Instagram, wherever else we are. But I think that both of us are very much connected on there. And I'm really excited for you guys to listen to this today. It's one of my favorite episodes by far. Enjoy, my loves, and I'll see you guys after. Hello, Bryn.
Hi, my darling.
How are you, babe?
I'm so good. I'm so happy we're doing this.
And like, I know.
The things that had to occur for us to be in each other's lives is so magical.
It literally got, I'm just going to give like a short story here, but wow, I met you through your ex-husband, Chris, in a time of crisis for me when I was like, I need a place to land and now, and it was just like, bada boom, bada bing, my ex-wife, she has a place, you can land here while she's gone. Didn't even know who you were. I was in your house, in your place, as you are right here, right now. And I was like, yep, this girl and I are going to be friends.
So divine.
I know.
That's been our relationship though. It's been such magic and such ease and such flow. And I'm so here for it. So yeah.
I know. Me too. I'm so grateful to have you in my life. So welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to introduce you to my audience and just put more of you, like even just to have the space to allow you to share more of yourself and to claim more of your space into the world is a gift. So thank you for allowing me to give the space for that.
I'm giggling. Because I just started something called Network Spinal. Are you familiar?
Yes.
So I just started Network Spinal, and it's, for those who don't know, it's a, it's like spiritual chiropractic. And one of the things she's had me do is to practice expanding my energetic field. So the second you said that, I'm like, oh, of course, you just gave me a platform to be bigger. So thank you.
Well, we know by now I'm pretty intuitive. So.
Just a tad, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Amazing. Yes. Let's spread that energy. Let's expand. So tell us a little bit more about how would you describe yourself? Who are you as of right now in the world? Who's Bryn?
Oof, it's a loaded question. So Bryn, from a like career and a purpose perspective, is surface level intimacy and embodiment coach. So I help people to intimately know themselves, to create lives that really turn them on sexually and everywhere else in the world, increase their confidence by taking bold leaps into what terrifies them and thrills them the most, because that's the access point to their heart. And I do all of this because I've done it for myself. And what I think is really beautiful is that when I think about who I am in the world, recently I've been on a name kick where I've been really interested in discovering the name that you've been given and the significance that it has in your purpose, and your dharma. And when I looked up the significance of my three names, so for those of you who don't know, Carly is actually my birth name, my first name. Bryn is my middle. I made a conscious decision to start going by Bryn later, and I can share that story another time. But, and then Daler is my last name. And when you piece those three words together, they mean free woman, uphill challenge, and of God. And when I take them and I sit with, well, what is my dharma? Like, what am I here to do? It is to help women to fully know themselves as free and what freedom actually feels like internally by going through life's everyday challenges, from the most minute to the most mountainous, and to do that in connection to something that is so much bigger than ourselves, you know, whether that's our intuition or God or spirit. And that's been who I am, who I be. It's to take these challenges and to fully embrace freedom and sovereignty. And it's no doubt that that's my purpose. And I do that through the means of helping women to understand themselves in every facet, including their sexuality, their emotions, their desires. And what a journey it's been.
It's so interesting that we're talking about the names, because I literally, right before this, I was just recording the intro for my last podcast, and I had Victoria Washington on. I don't know if you know her, Tori. And so she's been going by Tori for a long time, and then a couple of weeks ago changed it to her full name, Victoria Washington. And it's funny, because even for me, I've been going by Tash for a long time, Tasha Kreidel. Like, it just flows really easy, but my full name is Natasha. And I'm like, what? I find it so minor, but like, why did I feel the need to shrink the energy of my name? Like, literally, I was like, let's just shrink that a little bit. Shivers. Well, it's so interesting. And right before the podcast, we were talking about like the minor shifts, how much they affect everything, right? And so like little things like that, we don't even think about it, but it's been such an interesting, like, wait a second, what part of me was not wanting to claim the boldness of something as simple as my name?
So good.
So interesting.
So interesting. Yeah. It's such a beautiful homework assignment too. So for those listening, just do a quick Google search, any platform, and find the one that resonates with you, and then see what meaning you can make of it. It's like dream analysis, right? For somebody else to tell you what your dream means, not so significant, but it's access into your subconscious. Like, what is here for you? What are you stepping into? Our words create our reality. And your name is probably the most significant spell that has ever been cast, right? From the moment you come into this earth, that is who you are stepping into. And that's also why, if you don't resonate with it, you can change that shit.
So, you can change it.
Yes.
So. Yeah. Which, like, for you, and it's really interesting, because I mean, not just to keep talking about names the whole time, but like, I think it is connected as to, let's talk about intimacy and names. But what I think is really interesting is that at the core, pulling back, there is an energy of our own identity that, you know, we weren't born and we were like, oh, I want this name. Like, our parents somewhere, somehow were called to give us this name. And I do believe that at certain points in our lives, if we want to get more intimate with ourselves, we do have to see the little increments of our entire existence, which includes our roots, our names, our age, who we think we are in family, who we think we are in the world, who we think we are as humans. And as simple as looking at our names and like, wait, does this really resonate with who I know myself to be? And how closely do I feel to that? How intimate does that, do I feel with that in my body? Mm. So yeah, I think like, I really, the reason why I wanted to have you on, I'm on a kick lately, like the podcast, I'm having a bunch of people from Austin, like weekly podcasts, just in terms of, I think we need more evidence in the world as to what's available for us and what we're able to do as women, as humans, like what's like just more evidence, the more the better. And so I really believe that humans learn best through stories. And I would love to hear, or again, because I've heard it, but I would love for you to share a little bit about your story in terms of how you've come to be where you're at today with your own evolution, your own process with your marriage and Chris and yourself. And let's start with that. And then I really want to tune into the whole 90 day, what did you call it? 90 day
man cleanse.
Like man cleanse. I love it. Yeah. Let's talk about that after, but I definitely, I would love to hear more about your story and what evolved from that. Cause it was so beautiful to witness from like an outside perspective as well. Just at the end, I don't know how it was at the beginning, but towards the end of both of your relationships.
Yes. So. Yes. Yes. Thank you. I'll start with, my most recent reflection. So I just got back from a festival over the weekend, and when I was at the festival, I'm fast forwarding to the current chapter, but I'll rewind in a moment and share a little bit more about my beginnings. But there was this moment where, you know, I was being the witness to myself. I was being the observer, and I could see that I was just really taking in my surroundings. I could cry just talking about it. Because I had such gratitude for my current reality, the world that I created. And I think there was this profound feeling of, I made this. I did this. This is mine. I created this because I was so bold and so brave to take that leap. And I wanted to just soak in every second of the community, the self-expression, the love, the vulnerability, the joy that I was feeling, because it's so easy when we infiltrate our reality to just have it be our new normal, but to not fully feel the deep, immense gratitude for the thing that we used to desire so deeply. Now that you have it, to really feel that. Like, there was a point in time where I wanted community so bad. I wanted to be fully expressed so bad. I wanted to be sexual so bad. There were all of these parts of me that hadn't been fully expressed. And I was at the festival going, holy shit, I did it. And I started to reverse engineer and say, okay, 5 years ago, I was married. I had a partner of 10 years. We were living in a different state. I was a business owner of a CrossFit gym and a meal delivery company, not living out my Dharma, like by any means. I was just checking a box. That was really my life. I checked a bunch of boxes. I got the husband, got the house, got the businesses, I had the community, but it was all very shallow, very surface level. Mm-hmm. So 5 years ago, I was in a completely different reality. And there was an internal knowing of there is more here. But I had no fucking clue what the more was. No idea. It was just a whisper of like, there's more, and there's a deep dissatisfaction that you're feeling. And can you trust that? So fast forward a year later, we started to get a little bit more adventurous and travel. And then I got to this place where I'm like, okay, I'm now starting to see a bit more of what the more is. Like, I traveled to Austin and I saw, I was at Paleo FX, this health and wellness conference, and I'm witnessing people that do health differently and ask great questions and have access to different medicine and substances and ceremonies that I had ever heard of. So my awareness was starting to broaden. And then 3 years later, it was like, okay, now I'm being invited to some of these events, but I still sort of feel like I'm an outsider and I haven't fully claimed that this is my new reality. And then 2 years later, it was like, okay, I took the leap, and I'll share more about that in a moment. I took the leap and now this is my community. But I still hadn't claimed the belonging of like, this is actually who I am. And then here we are like to today. And I'm like, this is mine. I'm fully expressed. These are my people, and I belong here just like everyone else does. And I name that because it's really hard, I think, in the moments of I have no clue where this will go or where what is next. And mm-hmm. I think it's so valuable to see that in a 5-year span, which is really a blip in the, you know, grand scheme of my life, I went from Carly to Bryn and how a totally different reality is now my new being.
And like Carly Marhefka,
yeah. Now
Bryn Gaylor.
Exactly. Like total, wow. Total identity shift. So
whoa.
I'll speak to who Carly Marhefka was a bit more. So I named, like, I was married, I had 2 businesses, I was checking all the boxes. And when I started to feel the calling, I just kept trusting. What I didn't know at the time was my intuition, but I just kept feeling this call to more. And I actually was at the conference I named Paleo FX in Austin. I was living in Florida at the time, and I met someone who's now been a significant expander in my life, Mike Bledsoe. Mm. Didn't know who he was, but I met him. I was like, this guy looks like an alien. Like, he looks like there's something here that he is here to give to this planet that I don't have access to. So being brave, bold, and asking good questions has always taken me very far in my life. So I walked right up to this man and I said, what work have you done? Because you look like you've got something that I don't have. And he said, he looked at me point blank and he said, psilocybin and training camp for the soul. And at the time I had not touched a drug. I had never done any sort of plant medicine, except I think I'd had cannabis at times, but like that was it. Mm-hmm. And I certainly hadn't done any inner work, any transformational work. And within 6 months I had completed that program and done my first psilocybin journey. And that was the beginning of my metamorphosis, where I started to realize labels have no meaning outside of what I give to them. Wife doesn't mean shit. The ring doesn't mean shit. The marriage certificate doesn't mean shit, except for what I am bringing energetically to that union. Even the name Carly, like the label of business owner, the label of a woman, like all of these things, I'm like, well, what meaning am I giving my life right now? Because I certainly don't like the one that I have. So I just kept asking better questions of like, well, what meaning do I want to give these things? And eventually what I realized was Chris and I were so deeply enmeshed in one another. We had formed some really powerful trauma bonds of I was in a place of deep codependency and he needed to take care of someone to feel worth. And so
the perfect blend.
Oh yeah. It was like, and the more inner work I did and the more self-assured I became and the more inner strength I cultivated, the less I needed him and the less I craved that feeling of being taken care of. So shortly after Burning Man, I was in the woods.
Of course.
I know. Insert Burning Man joke here. I basically said, I need to know who I am without you. I need to know who this version of me is without being a wife, without being someone's shadow, without being this desireless woman that just follows in your path. And I took the RV, I drove it to Austin, and I've literally been here since. I had no clue that it would unfold into literally the most transformative, incredible, expansive, and wild time of my life. Because basically that only takes you up to like the first chapter of this journey. But I claimed, I said, I want to know who I am without you. And I want to know what I am made of and that I am so willing to be able to take care of myself at every level. And then life showed me every obstacle and challenge that would show me how fucking resilient and strong that I am. Mm-hmm. And the woman I am today is one who deeply knows at a soul level that I am so capable of meeting my needs and understanding who I am and knows her desires so deeply, can speak them with confidence. I just feel like I can do anything. And I didn't know that even 2 years ago. And so I talk about this a lot with the women I work with, of confidence isn't this fake it till you make it bullshit. It is flexing the muscle of leaning into the thing that terrifies you, that you know is your heart's biggest calling, and showing yourself that you are able to step into that fire. And I did it so many times that now I'm just like, I have such trust in the unfolding. Cause I've proven and shown like, I'm good. I've got me, and the universe does too. And, somewhere along the way too, I discovered my work and my purpose, and it's helping women to forge the exact same path.
Not a coincidence. I freaking love this so much. What a story, babe. Wow.
Thank you.
Like, I mean, I heard it briefly, but like not to this extent. And you're making me remember like a couple of nights ago, I went to dinner somewhere and there was this poster on the wall, which I thought was such a little glitch in the brain, but it, you know how usually we see like follow your dreams. This one said, follow your fears. And I was like, I love that. Goosebumps. I loved it because I'm like, yo, there's such a talk about like, follow your visions, like follow your desires. No one's talking about the fears in between and how that also an indication, you know, and like it's definitely pulling us into this direction of when there is a fear, there's an invitation to something even deeper. And that's where the vision is also. That's where the invitation for more love is. And that's where the invitation of seeing ourselves deeper, being more intimate with ourselves, right? Because like what we're afraid of is like, and that's what you teach, I'm assuming. I mean, we've spoken about this a bunch of times in terms of intimacy, like being, allowing ourselves to be brought to the edges. So the fears, the resistance, the stories, whatever, it's like, like that energy of like the push pull dynamic or the hit. And then how are you going to react in that? How are you going to shift in that? I'm assuming that's what it is, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's funny, you know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking, okay, I just painted the picture of point A to point B, but what you didn't see is when I made that bold leap into the unknown and said, I want to know who I am without you. And I left my job, I left my husband, I left my home. The 2 years in between were some of the greatest contractions I've ever experienced. I mean, like brought down to my hands and knees, so surrendered to God of like, please help me to navigate this path because I've never been in more pain. I've never been in more suffering. I've never been in more grief, more anger. I mean, I was feeling so tremendously. And the one of the greatest moments of my fear coming to, I mean, it was like an ayahuasca journey without ayahuasca. December of 2020, so exactly almost 1 year later after I left my marriage, I was really grief stricken. I was still recovering through so much of like heartbreak and trying to figure out who I was in this world. And I went to actually my ex-husband's birthday party. And it was at that birthday that I ended up getting COVID. And what unfolded exactly, like, thanks. what unfolded was 2.5 months of the most terrifying, like all of my greatest fears culminating in one experience. So I had to be completely alone because I had this sickness that everyone said, you can't be around me. I faced dying several times. I mean, I was so incredibly sick where I thought like, what if this is it? Like, what if this is my last moment on earth? I faced my greatest fear up until that point, which was that I remember I was sitting on the couch. I was so fatigued and so sick that like, I didn't leave bed for almost 8 weeks. I mean, I was, I had to rehabilitate myself back into life. And every day was a new challenge of like a new symptom, a new suffering. And I remember sitting on the couch, just staring because it was like a Vipassana. I couldn't have stimulus because my nervous system was so fried from the cytokine storm that I was experiencing. So movies were too much, books were too much, music was too much. So I was in silence for almost 2 months without human contact. And I remember I was sitting on the couch and this voice came through, And this all relates to like facing your fears. And it said, no one's coming to save you. No one's coming to save you. And it got louder and louder. And at first I was like writhing and uncontrollably crying and shaking because it was so terrifying to me. Cause up until that point, someone had always saved me, my husband, my mother, my father, someone. There was this belief that I will outsource my power to someone else outside of me. And I just kept spiraling and spiraling. And then all of a sudden that voice, instead of it being this like heaviness, it was, oh, no one's coming to save me, so I can save myself. And it just landed in that moment of like, you are here to be your greatest hero, your greatest heroine. And it didn't click until that moment. And had I not faced my fears and dove directly into the fire and been able to be with this like deep crisis competence to know that I could so fully meet my needs in the sickest of sicknesses, I don't think I ever would have faced that fear. And now on the other side of that is this version of me that you see here. But I think it's so important to pull back the curtain and go, it wasn't like I just claimed this identity and it was fucking Fruit Loops and rainbows and sunshine, right? I had to like face my greatest fears over and over and over again.
I mean, and that's why I love having these conversations, because we get to show people like, we're not just like, it's so funny. Like the human, I find the brain is so funny. The mind is so funny to me. Cause I like even a couple of weeks ago, I got a message on Instagram of this girl being like, are you always this chill? Like, are you always this zen, this like happy, this. And I was like, how interesting. Like, can you still hear me okay, babe? Cause you're like kind of freezing in and out. I don't know if it's me or you, but just want to make sure you're good.
Yeah. Your audio is great. Your video is a little choppy. Can you hear me okay?
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I can hear you. Let me see if I lose you, I'll be back in a sec. Is this good? Can you hear me?
Yep. Yep. I can hear you.
Okay. I think this is better. Okay, cool. Great. So yeah, I got this message of this girl being like, are you always this chill? Are you always this happy? Are you always like this? And she's like, and then she like ended her message with like, you know, I don't know how you do that. Like I suffer so much from anxiety. And I was like, yeah, listen, yes, I am always like mostly like I am a very happy person now. I am very chill now. Because I've done the fucking work, man. Like when I was younger, I had anxiety attacks all the time. That was my entry point into my own healing, is like, I'd have panic attacks of the thought of my sister coming home because I didn't know when we were going to like fight or if she was going to be on drugs or if my mom was like, I didn't know. So it's so interesting how people assume like see us in this view, like, wow, look at her. She's got it easy, you know? And I want to make it very clear in that is like, no matter who I bring on this podcast, like we've done a lot of tremendous work. And I think it's important to recognize, like, there is a reason why we're teaching what we're teaching, because we have been through those depths and we continue to be in those depths and we continue to choose to like lean into our own edges, into our own fears. Even when we don't consciously think that we are, it's like part of our path to be in it so that we can teach others afterwards exactly to experience it more gracefully so that we have better guidance. Because how many times were you in the shit and you're like, dude, can someone just tell me what the hell is going on? Because I have no idea what this is, how this came about, how I can move through it. And here we are like little angels, like, hey, by the way, if you do X, Y, Z, that's going to help you and you'll be fine. And trust me, because I've been there. So I get it. I see you. I support you. You're safe. And it doesn't have to be from this place of like even saving people, right? Like you're not doing this work to save others. You're here to support them into seeing deeper parts of themselves and empowering them to face their own fears and really anchor in to the new identity that they want to choose and live the life that they want to live
Mm-hmm. And that really starts with like, how intimate can you be with not only your visions, but also your fears?
Yes. My mentor used to say, don't save people, bring them to their apocalypse. And I love that. I'm like, yeah, baby girl, I'm not going to save you, but I'll hold your hand through the underworld because I've been there.
Yeah.
And it's part of it. You must walk that path. And there's chapters of it. By no means am I done with the work. I'll be in this shit till the day that I die, but I'll be having a good time while I'm doing it. So
Yes. I think it's really beautiful, even just to recognize, like, I'm sure maybe you relate to this, but I often see people kind of like wanting so badly to be on the other side of this journey or the suffering that like they go about their journeys, like in that chase, like get me out, get like, I need to do the, like, that's the thing I hear all the time. Like, I need to do more work. I need to do this. I'm like, first of all, change your language, please. You don't need to do anything. You get to, you choose to. And this is part about creating our own reality, is like really recognizing everything you're experiencing somewhere, somehow you chose this. Okay. Whether you like it or not, or God chose it for you so that you could see deeper parts of yourself. Kind of like you asked to be more patient. Well, you're going to experience something that's going to bring an invitation to have more patience. It's not like, oh, here you go. Patience. Good job. You know, no, we have, there is part of this journey. And just witnessing you and continuously going into your own depths is amazing. And this is where I want to bring the 90-day man cleanse. So tell us about what was your inspiration behind doing this? And I mean, give us all the juice. Like what came out of it? Was it hard? Was it easy? Was it, I'm sure you experienced the whole shebang.
Oh, totally. So, I left my marriage in 2019 and I've been single on and off since then, but never with intention. It was always like the opportunity for partnership was always on the horizon. Mm-hmm. And I definitely had this claws out penetrative energy of I'm searching for this thing. Mm-hmm. There was this subconscious belief that if I'm not actively taking action and working towards partnership, that it wouldn't find me. And that came from a deep-rooted fear of being alone. And, you know, on the surface, I'd reached beautiful levels of independence. And yet there was this longing that came from lack and a void that I was really unwilling to sit with. I call it the shadow of intellect, where the more work that you do, the more logic and understanding you have of patterns. And yet if they're not embodied, it doesn't matter how much you fucking know. I knew not to come from an energy of lack, and yet I was. And so it's like, okay, Bren, great job. So I was in partnership in December of 2021, and this was a lovely man. We met under the most beautiful synchronistic circumstances, where he just like plopped into my lap at a concert, and we fell deeply in love very quickly. And yet there were signs there that he wasn't the person for me in the long run, but I held on under the guise of like, but I keep opening my heart and revealing in hopes that he will meet me in that. And it was control. It was control and manipulation disguised as me being feminine. Like, well, if I keep opening and revealing myself to him, maybe he'll be this different person. And the truth is like, we don't reveal our hearts to get something. We reveal our hearts because it is so deeply a part of our being that we have to reveal them. And so he ended up ending the relationship, and I was deeply heartbroken because I opened so bigly. And that was a beautiful lesson in and of itself, is that the time doesn't matter. I felt just as much heartbreak in 4 months as I did over a 10-year marriage ending.
Right.
And after that relationship ended, I said, what's the common denominator here? Because here I am 3 years post-marriage, and I'm attracting in some flavor the same kind of man over and over. Slightly more evolved, slightly more conscious, but still has this underlying flavor of like not ready, not fully emotionally available. There was always something slightly off. So I said, okay, how can I take full responsibility? That's been like another hack for me is mm-hmm. anytime I can take full responsibility, I'm winning already.
Yep.
So I'm like, what can I own?
I'm relating way too much to this.
She's like, mini light. So I said, okay, I know what I need to do. I need to pull back all of my energy and I need to be intentionally celibate and single for the first time in my 32 years of existence. And that terrified me, terrified me. And I had so much shame around it because here I am, a woman who teaches about love and intimacy and relationships. And I am suffering so deeply. And so there was this hypocrisy of you teach women to be independent and fierce and to claim big love. And here you are so addicted is the word I'd like to use. Like it consumed me that I must find a partner. Mm-hmm. And also like societally, I felt a lot of pressure of like, when you find your union, everything will up level and there will be this magical, you know.
I know. It's crazy, man. We spoke about this briefly.
Totally. And so I'm like feeling the societal pressure. I'm feeling the internal pressure. I'm feeling the pressure from fucking Disney movies that are like, find your prince and everything will be better. So I did the thing that I knew I needed to do, which was take it fully off the table. And I would say for about 6 weeks, it was hard. I think of it like taking any addiction, coffee, alcohol, drugs. By no means am I comparing myself to like the hardships of like going through and breaking a drug addiction, but
it's not far off. It's the same chemicals in the brain.
Literally, I was breaking a deep addiction to finding a partner and the space that was occupying. And so for 6 weeks, I faced withdrawal symptoms of like deeply wanting to feel masculine energy and like where I was always seeing the voids that I was filling with dating apps, male attention, having sexual needs being met for me instead of by myself. And what I noticed was the second I pulled the energy back, almost instantly, my reality shifted. Almost instantly. So I love to paint the picture of, yes, transformation can be an endurance game in the marathon and long, and it can also be wildly fast.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So I think it was within 24 hours of the declaration, I had the owner of the nail salon that I've been going to for years, the sweet male owner, look at me and goes, you know, I just want to thank you for your business. And he paid for my manicure and pedicure.
I'm my God.
Okay. That's never happened to me. I'm sitting at a coffee shop talking to a girlfriend. I'm like, you know, I've never really been asked out in public before. In my head was like, that was my story. I've declared that I'm not dating. And this random man from across the coffee shop comes over and asks for my number.
Oh my God.
And it was, and I'm realizing this as I'm saying it, I'd always had this belief that I had to be available and like make eye contact and like open to the invitation. I didn't even fucking have awareness that this man was in the coffee shop. So that just immediately eradicated that story that I had to be like doing something to receive his attention. I went viral on TikTok several times and gained thousands of male followers, which was so hilarious of like the universe just kept throwing men in my lap. The second I said, I'm wiping my hands clean of this. I went to a workshop that I had no clue was like 95% male. So I get there and I'm like, okay, I'm all of a sudden filled with like 60 of the most beautiful, athletic, entrepreneurial man I've ever met.
Oh my God. Kill me.
Yes. I was like, what is happening? So it taught me so many things, but mostly what it taught me was that when I pull my energy back and I focus fully on creating the most beautiful, magical life for myself, that there's not a damn thing that I have to do to receive the things that I ultimately really desire when I'm focusing that energy in the right places. Because what I did in that void, that emptiness, is I said, well, where do I have space to build and look at the parts that I didn't want to look at? And what I saw was, one, financially, there was still a tiny part of me wanting to be rescued. So I started to date my money, and I would have money dates where I like got out pens and highlighters and went through every single line of my checking account and saw where I could save money, and where I was like in this queen mentality, but yet wasn't actually being a queen because I was being so frivolous with my spending. And then I started to focus on hobbies of like, well, what if a man were to come into my life, like, what are the things that light me up? And I'm like, okay, erotic dancing and writing. I started a writer's group for my girlfriends, and I started pole dancing. And next thing I know, I nested in my home. I made my home even more beautiful and vibrant. And next thing I know, I'm like, God, I feel so full. Like, I'm so full of myself. And that felt so good. And the second that happened, I'm not joking, a girlfriend of mine, there's so much goodness here. I'm sitting at pole dancing, and she says to me, Brynn, I know you're on this man cleanse, but there's a man that I think you have to meet. And I said, okay, tell me more. And she's like, he lives in LA. He doesn't have social media. I don't even know how this will happen, but like, I'm so convinced that you two are like perfect for one another. We had our first date last night.
Oh my God, the timing.
So my man cleanse ended. This man happened to be coming to Austin for a retreat. And
oh my God, of course.
We were so divinely like set up. There was nothing again that I had to do or be in order for him to plop right into my lap. And like, who knows where it will go, but it just reminded me of, okay, like the universe is orchestrating my greatest hopes and dreams and desires, and we're co-creating this thing, and I'm in the passenger seat. And all I had to do was say like, okay, be focus on yourself, focus on creating a beautiful life, and the rest will follow. And if that's not an affirmation of that happening, then I don't know what is. So yeah, man cleanse, successful. And
holy shit, babe. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. What's also really beautiful is that the previous version of me would have projected, tried to create meaning of, done all of these things around like what that date meant. And I feel such a peace of like, if there's more here, great, let there be more here. And if there's not, this man already gave me such deep healing that like I could walk away and be so happy. And there's like 1,000 more synchronicities that occurred that I could fill a whole podcast with of just our interaction,
right.
But it was magic, pure magic. And that's such a theme in my life, is leave room for magic. Like let go of the reins, boldly speak your desires into existence, take a step in the direction of them, and then leave room for the universe to meet you in that. And they will.
If that's not a mic drop, I don't know what is. I mean, this is like, there are so many things that you said. I mean, I'm just like, again, I love the fact that every podcast that I'm like having, every time I'm like, oh, there's a reason why we're talking this specific week of something specific, you know? And I think even just right before this podcast, I was listening to another podcast, and the girl was explaining the title of the podcast was how to open up the floodgates, basically around money and business and all the things. And I was like, oh, interesting. Yes. Like, give me that juice. And we assume, you know, the brain's like, that's what I want. And then basically what she ended up talking about was like the biggest theme that I got from the whole podcast was, where are you leaking in your business? And I was like, dude, it's so funny because I'm like, it's the thing with leakage, energetic leakage. We don't even know what's happening until someone points it out. Until we finally get like slapped in the face, like it's right in front of us. You can't miss it. And it's like, look, look. And I think the energy of energetic leaks is lack. It's forgetting that we're whole, right? Because it's like, it's a remembering our wholeness, forgetting that we're whole, forgetting how deeply supported we are. And it's almost like we act from this place of, like you said multiple times, thinking that we have to do in order to get or perform, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have to perform into this, a woman. And this where sometimes like I kind of feel a little disconnected to some people, not someone specific, but to some people who teach like the feminine embodiment stuff, because I'm like, there's still performance. You're performing, you're performing. And in that we forget, I think like you and I, you know, connect on a lot of levels in terms of how we see certain things in the industry, which from my last podcast, I'm really anchoring into like holding it up to a higher standard, because that's how I think energetically we get to shift the energy to and support the energy to be more integrous. And when we realize that women, I mean, fuck, we're so powerful. We're so fucking powerful. We're master manipulators. We're master witches. We're master energetic wizards. Like, so we know exactly what we're doing. We're like, ooh, let me play with this. Let me fuck with that. And we don't even know if we're having fun with it, right? But like, ooh, watch out. Watch out.
Yes. Oh, I love everything that you just said. It's funny that you said the word manipulation, because I actually asked this at a workshop at the festival because we were talking about values and partnership. Know my partner's value and how they want to be loved. They basically said that it is your job, that love, like who you fall in love with, is unconscious. So they were saying that because it is unconscious, you can't take responsibility for who you fall in love with. Like that's not the part that you can claim. But what you can claim responsibility for is creating an environment in which someone can fall deeper in love within the relationship. And I immediately went to, well, fuck, that feels partially manipulative. Like that's where my mind went, because I'm dating and I'm thinking, well, if I know someone's values and I'm creating an environment for them to fall more in love with me, then
you're still manipulating your energy.
And what he came back with was, we, what's the word? We essentially prescribe that manipulation has a negative connotation. And he said, if you look up the meaning of manipulation, it is neither positive or negative.
Yes.
So he said, to manipulate is just to like alter. And why, if you are essentially making meaning that to manipulate is something negative, he's like, I would argue that it's not necessarily so. And it's more about the energy behind it. So are you just creating an environment for this person to love themselves more and to love you more, and that's serving your greatest good? Then great, be manipulative.
I was like, yes.
All right, true that.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's so good. 100%. And then you named about performance, and I want to touch on that too. I'm a deeply spiritual person. And I think a lot of people in the spiritual community are finding themselves pulling away from that community more and more, because they're realizing that so many spiritual, in air quotes, practices are fucking egoic and for show. Yep. And that to be spiritual is just connecting to a higher power. And I can do that in 30 seconds sitting in my fucking living room and not need a ceremony and wear white and have Palo Santo, all of these things.
Babe.
And so it's funny, we had a women's circle at the festival and I was in charge of leading it, but there was even resistance from me to call it a women's circle. I was like, we're just gathering as women and we're going to do some cool shit together. And what I named in the circle was, I got emotional for a moment. I said, we're going to go into an embodiment practice where I'm going to give you different archetypes. And your only job is to see what energy feels natural and like home. And like, I could be in this energy forever. And what energy feels like dissonance, like, ooh, there's a blockage. There's a something here from me fully stepping into this energy. And I clarified before we began, I said, I want you to know this is not a performance. I said, you can be in the corner twiddling your thumbs, like babbling for all I care. That is embodiment. Mm-hmm. Embodiment is taking the energy that is currently present in your body and bringing it through movement, not for someone else's gaze, not for what you think it's supposed to look like. And so, and that took conscious awareness for a long time for me to stop performing when I was doing embodiment, because I was so used to doing it for the male gaze or the female gaze.
Yeah. But it's fine because it has a story. Like, I'm doing embodiment work, so it's okay. So like, so you're telling yourself, you're feeding the story. Like, dude, it's so funny. Like everything we're talking about, like on, like, I'm so happy to hear that that's happening in the community, because it's honestly something I've been grieving for like 6 months, like deeply grieving of like, even just how I'm like, I've been showing up in that and like how I've been perpetuating it to some extent. Again, it's not I don't think it's conscious. We're not doing it, but I've been seeing it. I've been seeing it for a long ass time, and it scared me to not say, to like, to even look at it and really acknowledge what it is and what's happened. And it's because to me, it was like, fuck, am I the only one to see this? And if I'm the only one to see this, then that means that I'll be excluded from like the tribe. And there's nothing more painful to think about not being included in your tribe. Right. And like, I think that's been part of, there's been so much change within myself as I've come back to Montreal, and my move to Austin hasn't happened yet. And there's been so many things that play a part in it. And, but one of them was this, was just like, oh my God, I'm seeing so much that I'm like, what happens if I go back and it's just not the same? And I just don't have my people, because I'm just seeing so much. And I'm like, and it's been like radical honesty, radical honesty, radical honesty, radical honesty, radical honesty. It just keeps going. And I'm like, ow, ow, ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
Oh, that's what I love so deeply about you, is that you are such a truth teller, and you are such a, you speak your truth no matter what. And because of that, you will always have a place in my heart, and you will always belong in my community, because that's something I so deeply admire about you, is when you are my friend, I never have to worry that you're withholding anything. So the thing that you are, I imagine, afraid of, like outcasting you, is the thing that I think will actually bring you the closest to others. Oh, my love. Yeah.
Thanks, babe.
You're so welcome. Isn't it?
I don't think I've ever cried on a podcast before.
But this is perfect, because it's so universal, my love, that the thing that we are usually the most afraid of ends up being our fucking superpower.
Oh, I know. And it's your just superpower. It's been so crazy to like see, like, very, I love how this whole podcast is about intimacy, and here we are being so intimate. But I think a big part of me was like, you know, with the new business coming along, and it's all about safety and coming back to our deepest roots. And as humans, that's really my whole intention. And I find that so important right now. And I don't think I'd be able to see the vision so clearly if I wasn't seeing just how distorted and misaligned certain things were in the industry, and making peace with that in order to step into my own role, because I can't operate from anger, and like, I can't operate from like sadness or like frustration of like, fuck, like we need this. No, it's like, I see, that's okay. And here's the solution I think has really supported me, and that I think would support others. And if you want to join, great. And if you don't, great. Mm-hmm. But I can't, and it's been a process to feel into all that feeling and to really see myself in terms of how I've shown up and how the things that I didn't want to acknowledge of like, fuck, I did do that. I hate that. And I did do that too. And like, I didn't even mean to. Yes. And I've even like thought about having a live, or even just, I think, I mean, at this point, I'm just going to talk about it straight up here, but like, I've been wanting to apologize to my community. It's so like stuck in my throat. Because the last thing that I ever want is to ever hook people in or trauma bond people into my work. And I don't think I've ever done that because I'm so like against that, but I'm sure somewhere, somehow at some point in time, it has happened. And if ever I was to ever cause any type of perpetuation of trauma to anyone, like, I'm sorry. And I think we need to show up better as coaches, as mentors, as humans who support other humans. Mm. Like, I am sorry for whatever, if ever. Mm.
I love your heart so much. And I just respect the fuck out of you. Kudos, like truly kudos to going first and being the one to name it, because this is a problem in the coaching industry. And here we are again, you being a trailblazer, truth teller, speaking into it. Mm. And honestly, like, I don't trust the coaches that aren't willing to say, like, I fucked up. We're human. Mm. Like, how human of you to name that, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just love that you're in the awareness and you're clear enough to say it. And yeah, I just respect the hell out of you. So thank you for sharing your heart. Babe. Always.
I mean, you look at all the space you took today and look at what it's provided permission for me, just to give you evidence as to what you're going through right now. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, look what's happening. I never cry on podcast. Mm. So you've allowed the space energetically to welcome more of that in for myself.
Thank you. You know,
let this be a testament, babe, as to how safe it is to take up more space. Mm.
Ooh, I feel it. Oh, fuck. That feels good. I feel it deep in my loins.
Good.
You know, you're naming, and I reflected that your superpower is you being this truth teller. And my superpower is feeling and creating a safe space to feel. And I love how beautifully and organically that came through today, because I'm getting emotional now. This is intimacy. Like, this is where we connect human to human and we share our deepest fears, our greatest desires, all of the parts, like where I say to you, like, this is all of me on a silver tray. And God, it would hurt so bad if you said no, thank you. But I can't be in a relationship anymore, whether it's a friend, a partner, a lover, where you don't get to have all of me. I just am unavailable for it. And so I'm so glad that we just painted a picture of like what it means to be intimate. Intimacy literally breaks down to into me, I see. And you modeled that so beautifully just now of like, this is what's happening inside of me. And I want that to be the level that we all strive for, or fuck, I'll take ownership that I strive for in my relationships, because I want to be loved fully. And to be loved fully means you must see all of me. And it's fucking terrifying every time. I swear, I don't think this shit gets easier. You just reach another level of it. But if that's not the type of love that I have, like, then I don't want it. I really don't. And so, yeah, I'm just really grateful that this is what wanted to be birthed today. I think it was really beautiful.
I know. Oh my God. So much good juice. Like, I know already I'm going to get messages of people being like, holy shit. Yeah, I love it. And I also want this to be another reminder that if we're going to lead ourselves this way for not only love, but friendship, also business.
Yes.
Right. And not hide parts of ourselves just because we got to do business. And I think a big part of that was even just like last week, I've been having so many memories about my childhood with my dad, even though I've done so much work around dad for over 7 years ago, more has been coming up lately. And I had a memory, both my parents are entrepreneurs. So I've witnessed both of them just build the shit out of businesses my whole life. And I had memories of my dad contorting himself in business meetings at different business partners' houses. And, oh, well, you know, we got to go here for the weekend because we got to connect with these people, even though he didn't want to. Mm. But that was the thing to do, just to be in good business with people.
Yep. Yeah.
And I was like, that is fucked up.
No more.
And we're not doing that anymore.
No. I think we just get to take people off the pedestal, you know?
Yes.
Take them off. Take us all off. Like, no one deserves or should be on that. I'm going to say should with intention here. No one should be on the pedestal. And somebody was reflecting to me, they were stepping into a new coaching container with a new mentor, and I'll never forget this. And I've taken it now into my coaching. On the very first call, the coach said to the student, I'm going to learn as much from you as you will from me. And I want you to give me permission to show up vulnerably and to make mistakes, because we are both doing this work together. And I thought that was so powerful of like, I'm not up here giving information down to you. We're both here. I've got some codes, you've got some codes, and we're going to be deep healing for one another. And yes, there will be a majority of times where I'm holding that space for you, because that is what you are showing up for, is for me to hold that, and permission for me to be human too. And I just think that that is the new way of being. That's the new way of coaching. And I'm so here for it.
Yeah, I love that too. And I think it's incredible to be able, the word that wants to come out, but it's the wrong word. It's almost selfish.
Ah.
Like, fuck, I get to do this amazing work and learn just as much as them, and I'm getting paid for it. Mm. And I'm like, But at the same time, like, I get to see that, and I feel like I'm still in my Saturn return. Not that I'm trying to make this a story, because you know me with this shit. I'm like, yeah. I refuse to conform to this programming.
Uh-huh.
But there's definitely been a lot of like skin shedding, like 100%. And part of that's been like, how can I restructure my relationship with how I view the coaching industry? How do I amplify the way that I want to mentor? Because I resonate much more with teacher mentor versus coach.
Yep.
Coaches, there's a problem, here's a solution. I don't think there's any problem. I think it's just more of like, how do you want to live your life?
Yeah.
And like, what do you see in me that I can support you with into remembering?
Really,
that's really what it is. Because yeah, the way I hold myself and the way that I've gone through things in life has really led me to be here and to be wise beyond my years. And I get to support people with that. So great. That's mentoring. And it doesn't sit into I see everything as energy. So it's not just one thing. Everything affects everything all the time.
So true.
And the way that I've been like, even, yeah, just restructuring the way that I've seen clients, the way that I view my business, the way that I view myself in my business, the way that I view myself in operating in the world. Like, it's just been so much, but it's been very radically heart opening and humbling, actually would be the word. Of like, I've been talking about breaking codependency within business, within coaching, within clients, within partnerships, within the world. I think we live in a fucking huge codependent world. Like, we put everything on a pedestal. We put the government on a pedestal, money on a pedestal, people on a pedestal. We put food on a pedestal. We put all these things on a pedestal, and it takes us away from like really remembering how powerful we are.
Totally. I love this conversation of just the transferring of codependency, because I do see that happen. And I actually just started to shift my coaching containers where I'm not going to do coaching weekly anymore, because it was creating this like every single week, I'm going to bring this thing to you and I'm going to wait to solve my problem until I get in front of Brynn because she's going to help me. And it's like, no. Mm-hmm. And I've said it over and over. I've set such hard boundaries with my clients of when you bring something to me, I'm never, never, ever, ever going to just present you a solution. And I'm stating that out loud is just such a commitment because that is not serving me. It is not serving you. And we will support you. I will support you in going deeper within yourself and finding your truth. Cause that's all that fucking matters. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. And there's no end game because whatever goal you assume there is, you're going to receive something completely different. So
we're going to take a lot more turns than what you anticipated.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. A question that's like popping up a lot. I think it's mostly personally, but I'm sure if it's personally that it's relating to somebody else, how would you suggest that we can start cleaning up or having more, I guess, awareness around our own personal leaks in our lives?
Yeah. I love that you asked this. So I got on a call with Annie Lala, who is like one of the most incredible humans on this planet. She is the world's best love coach. And I say that without hesitation. And she said something to me that I'll never forget because I so badly wanted to be at the next level of money, next level of life, next level of partnership, next level of finances. I was just like, give me the next leap. Everything's all about quantum fucking leaps lately. Like quantum leap this, quantum leap that.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, no. What she said to me changed the course of my life. She said, you want to get to the next level? I was like, yeah, give me the codes. She's like, you must infiltrate fully the level that you are at. Leave no stone unturned. Look under every fucking pebble and claim full responsibility and full ownership of every part of the level you're at. So if you want to know where your energy is leaking, audit your current life. In money, in relationships, in sex, in friendships, in hobbies, in any category you can think of, and get radically honest, like the kind where you look at yourself and you go, ugh, like there's a twinge in your stomach because you're like, I didn't want to talk about that thing and I really didn't want to look at it and I really don't want to start to put energy towards it. That's the leak. That for me, it was money, it was hobbies, and it was dating. And I was leaky as fuck in all three of those places. And I knew that I was leaky because I did not want to admit it to myself. And the second I got clear and I started to own it and it felt, I mean, it was literally like an energy of repulsion. Like I felt nauseous. Those were the parts of me that is my shadow. I didn't want to look at it. I wanted it to stay hidden. And then I just started to radically name it. And over time, I lost the charge. Looking at my bank account didn't feel like somebody was punching me in the stomach, but it took me being with that energy and being with the disgust, being with the shame, telling my friends that I had $15 in my bank account and like, how did this happen? And like, what? Yes. Like just naming it, owning it. And then what has happened is that energy stopped leaking. I feel the flow returning back to me and the next level has started to present itself. And so now it feels like a game again. Yeah.
That's beautiful, simple, maybe a little uncomfortable. Like I was thinking about like all the things I'm like, what am I repulsed by right now? Yeah. It's interesting because sometimes it can be hard to look at that. Because I'm like, there's not much I'm repulsed by, but there are aspects of my life that I've been refusing to look at. And that's kind of the hard part of being a little rebel. And that's like the unintegrated, immature feminine, right? I was like, no, I don't want to. And as we mature, her and like have a conversation with her, like, listen, Linda, we're going in this direction. We're going, you're coming. And we got to be really honest with like where we're at. And sometimes like doing things differently, or like there was a time, like even the last couple weeks I've been, as I came back here, I was so, honestly, it's been hard. It's been very hard. And I actually wrote something really beautiful on Instagram about it. Maybe I'll read it after, but it's been really hard. And I was kind of, I don't have an addictive personality. I never have, because I know my limits, but I definitely enjoy stimulants. Like, I like my coffee. I like my little microdose. And at the first 3 months of coming back here, I was doing hape every day. Mm-hmm. I would, and that's a lot. Like, that's a lot for me. Like, I knew it. There's been multiple times that I've done it. And whoever doesn't know what hape is, it's like sacred tobacco, basically, that you sniff up your nose, you serve yourself up your nose. It is super supportive, and it did, I don't regret anything. Like, it did support me in terms of like just understanding how to be in this energy again after being gone for a year. Like, it's not like I was gone for 2 weeks. I was gone for a year, you know? And like, so I totally can love on myself and how much like I was going through a rough time, but there's been multiple times where it was like, yo, chill with the stimulants. Chill with the stimulants, chill. You don't need more. You need to just feel. You need to feel. You need to feel. You need to feel. Mm-hmm. Do you need support? Who do you need to call? Mm-hmm. Can you reach out to someone? Do you need, it's not even a need. It's like, would this feel good if you invested in someone that can, a call, a course, like reach out to people, like let your hand be held.
Yes.
In your process without the need to be saved, just be in it.
Yes.
And the more I've allowed, and I was feeling the same too, of like the next, because I grew so much last year in terms of like financially, business, like everything, it just boom. And there was this expectation. And I think I got caught anyways, full honesty, just acknowledgement of this. Like, I got caught in like the stories that we see online in the conscious communities of like conscious partnerships, taking quantum leaps. Oh, she's making six figures a month. Like I need to do that too. Like, that's what's going to happen. Right. And I was getting so caught up in it that when I wasn't there, I had shame. And I was like, what's wrong with me?
Yep.
And then it just perpetuates, you know what happens when you're in that story, what's wrong with me? And it's just like, oh, here we go.
This down and down, down
and down and down.
Totally.
Until I stop and I actually had to take a break, and I'm still, I wouldn't say a break now still, but I think like 3 weeks, I couldn't do any of my practices. I had to like disconnect from everything. No morning routine. Because I was still doing the things, expecting like, if I just keep honing down on my meditations and maybe I'll get the radical shifts and I'll see what I need to do in order to blah, blah, blah. And I just stopped everything. I was like, cut, 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 cut. And I'm like, okay, let me just fucking sit with this for a second. Yeah. Just acknowledge like fully 110%. I feel like I'm still in it right now of where I'm at right now and like not trying to change anything.
Mm. Yep.
Absolutely. And that's where the change comes, right?
Yes. Yes. And there's been so many themes of that, of like, cut things out, pull your energy back, be with what is, and then see what's supposed to be there.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say this out loud, but I pray for myself, for you, for anyone who's listening right now, that we get to be shown lovingly and harmoniously where we're leaking energy and where we can call back into our own resourcefulness within ourselves, within our bodies, so that we can be more clear with how we're operating into the world and getting more clear as to what we can have and be and do and just live more gracefully and not having to perform and push and pull. And I pray for that, for all of us to receive that gracefully.
Yum.
Yum.
Yes. Thank you.
Yum.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks, babe, for all that. My God, what an amazing, I'm so excited to launch this. Woo!
So good.
It's gonna come in the next couple of days for sure. I'm just going to be like, yep, this needs to be out like now.
The world needs it.
Yeah, totally. So what would you, is there anything else that you would like to say, that maybe something you've been experiencing lately that you would give some advice on, or what's on your heart, basically, just as a little finisher from this epic conversation?
Let me sit with that. So much has been said, and I think what I want to leave with is allow the subtleties to make massive ripples in your life. Like the change, the tweaking, I think that's what we've really like honed in on, is that it doesn't have to be this massive ripping of the Band-Aid where like you, it can be. And I think in some instances it must be. And where can you make tiny, subtle changes in your everyday life, your energies, your, the way that you use one word, the way that you respond to the way somebody says something to you, the way that you act in the morning, like these tiny little nuances, and how that can create massive ripples of transformation, and let it be subtle and graceful. And I think, like you said, there's a lot that you may see in the spiritual community where it's like, take out the credit card and make the big investment, or you must leave the relationship to have everything that you want, or, you know, any version of that. And it's like, okay, again, maybe there's truth there, but really tune into the frequency of your heart and your being, and see what's already available to you. And I imagine that there's wild amounts of change and transformation available to you without you having to do much of anything.
I always say micro adjustments equal macro results.
Yeah. Yes. That just summarized everything I was trying to say.
Yes. 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 Yeah. That. But that the brain, the mind is so funny. Cause again, the brain is going to tell you like, no, you need to like that. And sometimes, like you said, sometimes that's what it's going to require. Like, yeah, sometimes you do need to move, and sometimes you do need to leave the relationship, but there's no way in hell that you would have been able to do those big things if you didn't allow the subtle little things in the first place to take space into your existence. So
absolutely. And sometimes it's ego telling you that, oh, you must make this big showboaty thing and do this thing in order to have what you want. And it's like, I don't think so. Wonderful.
I don't know why I'm feeling called to read that caption of what I shared. So I'm just gonna read it and see. I don't know. Maybe someone needs to hear this. I'm just trying to. It's honestly, it's a recap of like everything we said today. So it's pretty cool.
Of course it is. Yes.
Of course. Everything's perfect. Divine timing, as always. All right. So I didn't know how important it was till I found myself praying for support. I have been feeling multiple skins shedding from my being for months now, maybe even close to 2 years, to be honest. Looking back, it has been longer than I thought. Have I been suffering? I can't seem to say that I have been. Has it been challenging? Yes, very much. The moments that I find myself feeling broken, confused, and lost, sitting with my head in my knees, wondering how the fuck, are the moments where I find myself letting go of the subconscious holding and allow spaciousness to take over. Some people call it God, others call it love. I'm still navigating what resonates most for me. I feel myself getting closer to my own resonance without the need to see the answer. And a part of me loves the fact that I'm so curious to explore the depths of those waters with an open mind and a responding body. I really wish that for everyone. And as I feel myself stepping into a deeper coming home, more anchored roots to my own tree, I can see how much I've needed self-forgiveness. I believe that one of the most underestimated ways to support ourselves into our next chapters in our lives and in our new evolutionary identities is through forgiveness. Forgiveness for what I thought was true, what I thought was real, for believing more illusions that were simply distractions, for falling victim into another story painted by a fantasy mask, as some may call it spiritual. We're all just here to learn, and I can see that and feel that deeply. And yet my heart yearns and knows it is here to lead boldly with a purified clarity of what matters most beyond all the illusions and the distractions. And I vow to lead myself best first and foremost, so I can support you powerfully to do the same for yourself if you desire that for yourself as well. In the meantime, enjoy the ride. Oof.
Now that was the mic drop. That was so beautiful. Oh. So from your heart, so just articulated so beautifully. And so I could feel where you were in every part of that. So thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for witnessing me in that. You're really good at it, babe. It's natural to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time for being here and sharing your heart, your intimacy, and just bringing so much energy and space on the podcast in this episode. And it's, I mean, that's like logically putting it into a small box, but realistically we're making waves in the fields right now. So thank you for showing up with me in this.
Thank you for seeing me and always like, I feel like you saw this part of me from day one. And I just really, really want to thank you for that, because you've been monumental in that vision of my life. And I'm so grateful to call you a friend and to share space with you. I love you.
I love you, babe. Wow. I'm so happy I got to have this conversation with Brynn today, that you guys got to have your hands on it, your ears in it, your hearts in it. And I really hope it has served you into bringing more self-awareness to maybe your current experience, maybe something you've been feeling lately. And just like a overall beautiful, expansive invitation to live more intimately with yourself, life, people, business, whatever that looks like for you. And so if you want to follow Brynn, you can find her on Instagram at Brynn Daler. I also posted her Instagram in the show notes. If you are looking to connect with me even deeper, make sure you connect with me on Instagram also. And there's so many things that are unraveling and shifting. So if you want to be part of my world in any capacity, whether it's one-on-one mentorship, you can definitely message me. I have space for that. If you're looking for maybe some programs that you can do on your own or master classes, I definitely have lots of material for that as well. I often ask people or tell people to message me and tell me what they're like kind of like needing support with, and I find what I think would support them best in terms of what I have on deck in my little library of different information and different courses that you guys can have your hands on. So we have a bunch of different things, like a self-healing program called TCP 2.0, known as the Courageous Path. I also have the Rising Leader, amazing program to have if you're finally feeling yourself step into a bigger role in your life, and lots of little masterclasses like harmonization. We have intentional, how to live your life more intentionally. We have surrender, how to surrender more deeply with yourself and life and what that looks like, what that even means, because I don't know about you guys, but I constantly used to think to myself, like, how the fuck do you do this? So there's that. And like I said, I have space for one-on-one mentorship, which it is a full-blown just, we are experiencing everything together. There is no limits as to what we have to talk about, what we can talk about, what we can expand on, what we can heal, what we can transmute, transform, transcend, expand into, all the things. And I am your number one hype girl, 100%, just like Brynn said today. So if you want to get your hands on any of those things, you can scroll below into the show notes or contact me on Instagram. And yeah, thank you as per usual for being here. I love you. I hear you. I see you. And I'll see you guys on the next podcast.